cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
Okay, well, welcome boys and girls, moms and dads and children of all ages. It's cooking fish time, and you've got Fish and Frank here, Captain Barry, and Pastor Donnie, and we've got Hurricane Katrina with us today. I'm not letting you live that one down, little girl. And we've got a cast of thousands to work with you today, so why don't we get started cooking fish?
All right.
Hey, Pastor Donnie, what's the fish of the day?
We're going to go after some black tuna, black-tip tuna, and we're going to talk to Barry a little bit about it today. It's a new fish for him to be targeting. Yep. We kind of was talking about it off air just a few moments ago, and these are just beautiful fish. They're great to be playing with. We're going to be cooking on this today while we're on the water. So I'm going to teach you something really, really neat. Well, actually, my wife is Hurricane Katrina. She's going to be giving us a.
She's going to hate me if you keep that up.
No, he started telling
me. A long time ago. Yeah. I actually was in New Orleans for Hurricane Katrina the first time, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a brutal storm. And then I end up marrying Katrina from the Philippines. And I said, you know what? That's so just justice right there.
This is Typhoon Katrina.
Yeah.
Oh, nicely done.
This
nicely
is, this is not her. This is Typhoon Katrina.
I like it. Okay. Yeah. Not a full blown. Yeah.
All right. Now, blackfin tuna are not really thought of on the west coast of Florida. More people go down to the Keys. You go down to Amerada, you know, Key West, Marathon, all that down there, even on the east coast of Florida. But we have a nice population on the west coast of Florida.
We really do, especially when they're running.
I was going to say they're mainly targeted on those parts of Florida, the Keys and the east coast, because it's deeper water close to shore. Is that mainly why you would they're targeted in that regard, Frank?
And the only thing about it is we have bigger. Yeah. I mean, they're down there 6, 8, maybe 10 pounds. We do 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 pounds up here. Mm-hmm. We have bigger tuna than they have in the Keys, and they're very plentiful. But, Donnie, how would you find blackfin tuna here?
When we first started doing this is a couple years back, we were out probably anywhere between 70 and 90 foot depth of water. We've heard quite a bit of stories about these things. But what we ran into was bonita. That was our first strike. And what we had learned in time was that the bonita runs in pockets, big school pockets. And so we'll see them off in a little bit of a distance, and we'll stop fishing what we were fishing for. We'll pick up. Now we know we're going to be doing some trolling, so we'll get our bubble gear out, and then we'll go over to the area they're in. What you're going to see is you're going to see several pockets out in front of you.
Now, what I like about it is you literally see the water start to boil.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, you think it's a sea monster, or you ever see a submarine right before it surfaces?
Yep. It's almost like it's blowing.
Yeah, the actual surface of the water where the bonita are blitzing or feeding will raise up a foot to 2 foot. Just the bubble froth.
Yep.
You can see it from miles away. And when you see that, all that bubbling and frothing, those are bonita, but they're a great indicator there's tuna there.
Oh, there's all kinds of game there, but the tuna is awesome in it. But there's, I mean, they're after the bait fish. There's a lot of schools of bait fish in that area. And it goes from really small to medium to large. And then you get into the bonita, and they're all in there trying to get a mixture of hunger, right? And then you got the tuna trying to take whatever their scraps are, what's falling down
so
beneath them.
The blackfin tuna would either be on the outside of the school of bonita or underneath.
That's right. To me, the best shot, like we was talking about off air, is probably about 20 feet below them, 10, 15 feet, 20 feet below them, or 20 yards out beside of them. And what we like to do is when we see that pockets, we look out and see where these pockets are. And you think that they're outrunning you is what the problem is. And so we'll get on the side of them, one side or the other. Doesn't matter which one.
About how far outside of the school?
I like running about 20 yards, 15 to 20 yards away from the schools, okay? I don't want to interrupt what they're doing. And I also want to catch what's underneath there because they're really up underneath that. That's what we're trying to catch their attention. So on the right-hand side of the boat, and that's typically where I leave the bonita. I want them on my right-hand side. That's where Dad's fishing at typically. Uh-huh. So I'm giving him the trash fish. I want him to have the best shot to catch this, you know. So I put a green and orange, something real bright on that side, something that will catch some attention. And I leave it out to trolling probably, about midway back in the troll, okay?
Like how many yards would you say midway back?
From the bubble trail. Do you have it just past the bubble from the outboards, or do you have it out in the clear?
I have it out in the clear on his side. I have it out in the clear. So we're doing probably, about 50 yards back, 60 yards back, something like this?
Because you've got your prop wash going, and it's trying to get it just past that prop wash. Because if it's in all the bubbles of the prop wash, it's kind of unseen.
Yeah. Yep. So you want it on the outside of that. And then I put a cedar on the middle, and I let it go out about 100, 125 yards out in the middle because we have dual engines. Okay. So I want to be way back there. I want to be past the bubbles. I want the water to come back kind of clear again and going. And then on my side, I use something like a black and a purple or a black and a red, something a little duller, a little bit darker. Yeah. And that's something that, to me, from what my experience is, they see that first. As they're going to that, they see the bright colors. And they see the cedar, and they hit that. Now, I'll get hit sometimes on my side. It's about 1 to 3. That's the ratio. He'll catch 3 by the time I catch 1, okay? Typically. I mean, sometimes it bounces back the other way. But that's what the ratio is. Now, you'll know you got too close if you start catching nothing but bonita. You need to get further back out, okay? But what happens is these tunas are up underneath there, and they're bedded up underneath, and they are literally taking the scrap of what the bonitas are hitting, and that scrap's falling. That's what they're hitting. Okay, so they're not really after anything major. They're just taking the scraps away from everybody else.
Now, you got me intrigued. We've gone out there. We've trolled by him. We've got him to hit.
Yep.
We've got our blackfin tuna, bringing him up. He's next to the boat. What happens now?
Well, I got to tell you something, Frank. I'm a big boy. Barry's a big boy. Mark, you know, he's getting there. Mark's still growing.
When he grows up, he'll be just fine.
Frank, at your age, you just stop growing at this point. But I get hungry out there on water. Have you ever get hungry out there on water, guys?
All the time.
So what we're going to do is we're going to teach you.
Especially when the fish aren't biting.
Sorry. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
when the fish are biting, forget it.
I usually eat my lunch about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, this is one of those brave moments. I don't even worry about taking a snack out there. When I know these bad boys are running, forget it. Because what we're going to do is we're going to cook a fish on the boat without using any fire, and we're going to eat up. And this is called Kim Ni Lao.
Kim Ni Lao.
Okay.
Kim Ni Lao.
Yeah, it's a Philippine native dish.
Well, she's cheating. She's Filipino.
There we go.
All right. So what we got to do is we got to catch our first.
Sorry, can we pronounce that one more time? What is it called?
Kini Lao. All right.
Okay.
So we got to catch our first tuna.
Okay.
Right. Then we want to clean it up. Right. We want to gut him out. We're going to take him out and flay him some and get that meat. We want that meat. We want to drain the blood out of him. We want to get all that stuff off of him. Okay. Clean it up. Rinse him up real good.
Now you're cutting the skin off of the meat?
Yep. Yes. Cut the skin off. Get
so
it all
clean. A basic fillet.
So,
right?
Basic fillet. Get the skin off. Get that blood out of there. Rinse it off real good. I got a fresh water run on the boat. We want to get all that off there.
I was going to say, I don't mean to interrupt you, Pastor John, but just the idea of filleting a fish on a boat. Like, do you have a nice cutting board? Like, is there a certain place you clean the fish?
Yeah, we do.
We have a cutting board on the back that we put in the gunnel.
Okay.
Okay, so it just slides in like a pole would.
Right into like a rod holder.
Right, and so I just slap him on there. I cut down from the head going back to the tail.
Okay.
And then I don't cut the tail meat off. I just flip it over and keep on going with my fillet.
Right.
And then I cut it up longwise 3 to 4 times, and then I cut it up in little chunks.
Okay.
So I've already got the chunk meat ready to go.
Okay.
I can put those in like a little Tupperware container, a Ziploc bag, whatever I want to do. Yeah. Now, we pre-make the sauce, the cooking stuff.
Not the sauce.
What we call that? The brine, okay? We pre-make that, put it in the boat on ice to keep it cold, okay?
Yeah.
So this is where Hurricane Katrina is going
to
take
us. Basically, you're just making try to prepare a, what is that called?
Like a brine.
Yeah.
A brine, like with salt water?
Vinegar, or you can do a lime just to do the flavorings and stuff. No, in...
Like a marinade or something?
Yeah.
Basically, you're trying to marinate the fresh fish in that vinegar or lime. But for my brother, I just remember he said that when he does his preparation, he cooked the vinegar along with other spices just to get the flavor out of it.
So and give us the spices, babe.
Chili.
Lots of chili.
Chilies.
You know I like spice, Frank.
Ginger, garlic, onions, anything you can think of.
Tomatoes, cucumbers.
Well, the tomatoes will be separate. You don't cook it along with the vinegar. Yeah.
So in the vinegar, what we're going to do is we're going to put a little bit of garlic, a little bit of ginger.
Yeah,
fresh. Fresh stuff.
Chopped
some onions and put it in the vinegar. Now, we're going to kind of get it to simmer a little bit just to cook.
Yep. Well, you cook the fish first. You basically put the fish first.
Okay, I have a question.
Vinegar. That's fine.
So, like, if we have, because I'm kind of like, I don't want to get sick out there also.
Yep.
No, I've had bad experience with sushi.
Yeah.
So, and I know we're cooking this through the acid and the vinegar. And
that's
the citrus,
right.
Yeah. Right?
That's
just to clarify that.
Yep.
So, we put the fish in a Tupperware container.
And we'll put that on ice.
Okay.
Yep. Clean it up as we're working with it.
You can basically just put it right away in the vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the vinegar is going to be pre-made. It's pre-prepared.
Yeah.
When you say put the vinegar, like, do you want it to be swimming in vinegar, or is it
swimming in vinegar.
So like, should it be covered with vinegar?
As much as possible.
Okay.
And your cooler. We have a cooler set aside for this, all right? It's not going to be our ice that we put down in the other fish and bait wells and all that.
Got it. Okay.
This is in our Yeti cooler.
Yeah. Okay.
Lots of ice. We want a lot of ice in there. We want to keep this thing cold.
So you have ice, and then that's what you want it cold, you were saying earlier.
Well, basically, the vinegar cooks the fish.
There we go.
Yep. Yes. In the cold temperature.
So you're not going to get sick from it.
Perfect. That was my biggest concern. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people have that concern.
As soon as you put this...
What we used to do is we would just throw it on the frying pan because I worked on commercial fishing boat. We had our own cook stove.
Yeah. We have no fire, Frank. We got to do this without.
Yeah. Well, my family's troglodyte. I have a long family history of making fire. We've been doing it for like a half a million years.
Now, I was trying to say earlier was you're trying to prepare like a salad.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like a ceviche.
The salad. It's a ceviche. Yeah.
I think
ceviche is what's that? What's the country?
Portuguese. Yeah.
You just got to dice up cucumber, onion. Tomatoes, anything you can think of.
So now, how long do you have the tuna soaking in that, like, well, with the ice in the cooler?
This is the neat thing I just found out. I did not know this.
It's basically just in minutes, really. Or right. Until it turns 10 white.
Minutes.
It just turns, the meat turns white.
Yeah. Okay, I've never done this before.
When you cook on a stove,
yeah.
What you do is when you prepare your fish, it comes in kind of grayish, like a light gray type color. As you cook it, it becomes white and flaky, right?
Yeah.
When you put it in this brine, when you put it in this marinade, if you will, as it's cooking, it instantly starts cooking as soon as it hits the vinegar and the lime.
I hear a frying pan sizzling.
I know, right? It's not cooking like that. It's cooking through the acid and it works. But as soon as they come in contact with one another, it literally starts cooking.
Yeah.
So what we do is you get the meat, right? You put it in your container, big Tupperware container, like what is that, 4x6x6 or 8x8 or something like that.
Okay.
It's a big square one. You can get it at Publix, kind of deep. Mm-hmm. That's got the sauce in it pretty well. So you just take your chunks of tuna, slap it right in there, put the lid on it, put it back in the cooler on top of the ice.
Stuff.
So you can do whatever you want to on the other side. It's already starting to cook.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes later, when you open that up, you'll notice the fish is real white.
So it turns from like a red to a white.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, with tuna, is a red. So
exactly.
It's a bloody meat. So now you can start seeing this turn. And once it makes that turn, man, you're talking about good.
Yeah.
And so you have a meal while you're on the boat.
Yeah.
Fishing for other fish.
Now, some people like to add coconut cream or some kind of milk, just a little bit.
The coconut
just
milk?
Just for coloring, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
Now, let's define one way of doing this. I'm going to start off. We got vinegar.
Yep, vinegar.
We've got, like, say, a half a lime. We put some vinegar in there. We squeeze in half a lime.
Go about a whole.
A
whole
lime?
Two, yeah.
Okay.
You want a lot of lemon juice.
A lot of lime juice.
A lot of lime juice.
All right. So we've got, let's say, a cup of vinegar, and we're going to squeeze in a whole lime.
Probably two limes at that point.
Okay.
Okay.
A cup of vinegar, two limes squeezed in, or the equivalent of juice, whatever it would be. And what's the next ingredient?
Chili peppers.
Okay,
chili peppers. You can
slice up different stuff like cucumber,
tomatoes,
ginger,
onions, ginger. Right,
but I'm trying to define it down so we could tell people. Okay, so we got a cup of vinegar.
Yep.
We got two limes squeezed in.
Probably about a tablespoon of ginger.
Okay,
do about three of those. That also is going to give it a little bit of spice, but it gives you a nice little flavor at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just take a fresh ginger root, cut that off, and then put three
diced
good chunks
it up,
of that in it.
You'll be fine.
Your garlic, take your whole clove of garlic, take that down, clean off the hides from that, break that down. You want to crush them, but leave them as whole, you know, just kind of squash them and then throw that in there. You got that in there going. You got your chili peppers. Not a lot if you don't like
now,
a lot of
what about
of heat,
onion?
Man,
I'm a big onion guy.
Big onion. We like using red onions. To me, red onion has a lot more flavor to it. So we take that down and we just kind of quarter them. After we cut it down in slices, we just kind of quarter that off, leave them as long chunks type thing. That's going to add some more to your seasoning.
Okay.
Yeah. You can throw some green onions in there if you like, some carrots in there if you like, cucumber.
Yeah.
Your
anything
cucumbers, you can dice
like
out in those little circles. Mm-hmm. You know, just take it longwise and just kind of chunk it off there in a little. And throw that in there. All that's edible. When you get done, all that's edible. Now,
preferably
ginger,
fresh fish, though.
Yep. The fresher the better. That's why it's so good.
In the
good.
Philippines, it's okay. It's bait fish. But
she likes that bait fish, Frank. Have you noticed?
I'm beginning to get that.
Yeah. But
I remember Jack, too. It's good.
Yeah.
Jackfish.
But anything
here,
else?
I would have a question.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it right on the boat. Now, when I did commercial fishing years ago, what we would do is we would catch bonita. We would bring the bonita on the boat, and while they were on the side of the boat, we would just take like slabs on them like you would tuna.
Yeah.
Take the meat off the skin, and when we took those slabs out, we put them right in the frying pan. I mean, immediately. Mm. And it was wonderful. I mean, we would cut the slab off the fish, cut the skin off, throw it right in a frying pan, brown on both sides, done, like you would that tuna. And I'm wondering if this might work on them because you're doing it immediately on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the bonita dies, the meat starts going really bad.
It does. It does.
But if you were going to do that live on the side of the boat, I would literally just chunk the flay off. Don't be delicate about it. Don't try and take your time. Just go down 3/4 of the way through the meat, take the slab, slice, get the skin off, and put it right in. I mean, you have to do it quick.
Yeah, that's the whole idea about this is what I'm wanting to eat while we're out on the water.
Right.
And you can do this with
just
about
any kind of fish. But what I'm saying, with tuna,
kind of
you would have time because it doesn't have that nasty tin can flavor of bonita. But with a bonita, if you took a slab off the side of it, and I don't know if the second side would be any good. I think the second side would have to be bait.
Yeah.
But
that first side?
The first side.
I've never tried bonita,
Frank. Probably do that.
Never tried from. I can do that the next time we're out. We can do that. But
see if
the tuna,
see how
amazing
that would work. But with the tuna, I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm just wondering about something where you could do with a bonita. But the thing is, with bonita, as soon as they're dead, they taste like a tin can.
I wonder.
A lot of iron in their blood.
You think
so?
You
that's where
it?
They get that funky flavor from.
Bleed it.
No,
bleed
if you do that with the bonita, it's going to be no good. You've got to take that meat right now. I mean, it's boom, boom. Take that thing
I'll
off.
I'll try that next time we catch them.
I'm wondering
and
what kind of
that was the secret on the commercial boats is the immediate. We got them. I mean, we got them up inside the boat, and the mate wouldn't even wait.
No, two seconds. Some people might not know. Bonita is a type of tuna, but they are, like you said, they're more rich in iron, and it really, after
it's what
dead,
gives them their strength,
inside,
a lot of iron in the meat.
They're 60 miles an hour fish, and they cannot stop. Once they stop, they're dead.
I would say they're also commonly known as false albacore in different parts of the States, so that's a bonita as well.
Okay, so with all this, and we've only got about a 10-minute cooking time on this?
Once it hits your seasoning, once it hits the dressing or the...
Quinilao.
Once it hits this, and you put it in the bag, you put it in the Tupperware, once you seal that, it's starting to cook right away.
Yeah.
Put it in on your ice. 10 minutes, you're pretty much done, depending on how you chunk it out. If you made it too thick of chunks, you might want to go
so about half inch thick?
Yeah. Pretty much a bite size.
Yeah, bite size.
You can go up to about an inch.
Yeah.
Half inch to an inch thick, you know, something like that. But once it goes in there, you're starting to cook right away.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. It really sets your day because now you're eating fresh fish, which you just caught. Meanwhile, you're still catching fish. It didn't take you 5 seconds to set this up because your seasoning is already made.
You did all that at the house.
Yeah, you did that at the house. Mm-hmm. You set it in your cooler waiting for the first fish.
My other question, if you're not a big fan of vinegar, could you do this with just lemon juice?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you can.
With lemon,
a lot of
or
them.
What about lime?
Lime, yeah, lime.
Either lemon or lime?
Yeah.
Could vinegar, lemon, or lime be done separately, you know, or do you have to put them together?
You can
together?
Put it together.
Yeah, you can put it together.
It doesn't matter,
but I'm
really.
Saying, what if you don't want the vinegar?
Yep.
You
could
can
you
do lime.
It with just lemon juice?
Yep. Yeah, lemon juice
or
lime.
Just lime?
Will the citrus be enough to cook it
yes.
if you don't have the vinegar?
Absolutely.
It should
yeah,
be.
Absolutely.
It's
matter
of
fact,
lot,
as
lot
we were talking earlier in what was called a... Yeah, ceviche is common Portugal, Portuguese. That's what they use. They don't use the vinegar. They use the lime. And they just take a lot of lime, put it in there, and that's how they cook it. Now, in the Philippines, it's more vinegar.
Yeah.
But then they'll mix in a little
coconut
bit of lime.
Coconut vinegar, mostly.
And they'll have some coconut milk in it and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And all you want is that acidity. Both of them has the acidity. If you use the vinegar, the lime just enhances the flavor. Mm-hmm. If you have the lime, you don't have to worry about it. You're already halfway there with the flavor. It really busts it
up. So you do have three bases. You can either use a vinegar base, a lime base, or a lemon base.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So depending upon your taste and the flavors and stuff. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, you don't taste the vinegar. You really don't. That vinegar is pretty much gone with all the other flavoring you have, especially that ginger that makes it really pop. Yeah. The garlic that really helps you pop it out. And you know, you got your peppers, you got your cayenne peppers, you got your cucumbers, you got different things going on in there. That vinegar taste is gone.
Right.
So, you don't have much of that at all.
And that Ziploc bag, I'm just assuming now, like after it's all done, you just reach in with a fork or whatever and just start picking out the meat or whatever, ginger roots or whatever is in there, cucumbers.
Well, you don't want to eat the ginger roots, though.
I do.
I would have made that mistake already.
Yeah,
I do. No, Barry, she says no. I do.
You did.
It's a little strong.
Yeah.
But I do
strong
like
men,
it.
You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah, I do like it. It puts some hair on my chest.
I feel like I'm trying to validate it.
But
oh my God.
It's making Frank feel good. That's what it is.
Yeah, I know.
That will hurt your throat, though, if you eat a ginger.
No, it did good.
But that's it.
You just take a fork and just start digging in.
Yeah, just dig in. Yeah. And what, like
Barry is still trying to get to the fact we've cut up a fish on the side of the boat, chunked it up, threw it in a bag, throw some spices on it, and now we're just going to stick a fork in there and eat it.
Is it that simple?
Now, I thought I was raised on Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
This boy is raised on white bread. You got it.
Now
peanut butter jelly.
Wonder Bread, peanut butter jelly. That there's
mine is Barry. The peanut butter, just straight jelly.
This actually works with just about any fish you pull out.
I was
of
just
there.
Wondering the same thing because you mentioned. Typhoon Katrina. it works well with Jack.
Typhoon
right?
Katrina. Yeah. She's from the Philippines.
Jack,
they don't have hurricanes. They have typhoons.
That's why we're transitioning. But Jacks are like, they have dark, bloody meat just like tuna do. And I've tried Jack smoked. It's actually not bad. But if it works for tuna, I mean, I'd be willing to try.
Dude, it works with snapper, grouper, grunts, you name it. Any kind of fish, you can literally cook in this and you're going to get out a really neat flavor. And you can do this anytime, anywhere. That's what makes it great. Now, if you go to the store and buy, you have to buy a certain grade of fish. You can't just go in there and buy any grade of fish to do this with because it's already been frozen, thawed, frozen, thawed. You don't want that.
Okay.
So you either want fresh fish or a certain grade of frozen fish that is for, like, sushi.
For sushi. Okay.
That's good that you brought that up.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the things about this is... we've talked about preparing the fish, and I think we ought to get ready to eat. And so, Donnie, why don't you say grace, and we will head from there.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for yet another opportunity to just fellowship with one another. Go over a new recipe, Father, and give one another an opportunity to try something new. And, Father, we ask you to bless our food, our drinks, and nurse these things to our body, Father. And let us never forget there's so many out there that are doing without. So, Father, we pray, Father, that you make all the provisions. Put some food on the table today, Lord, for those that haven't had a bite to eat. Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, you know, we've got just about 15 seconds left, Barry. If you got something, you got to get in on this.
Get on what exactly?
Okay.
watch. Oh, Frank, no, don't let me go.
No!
Don't cut me out, no!
If you want to hear an interesting one, you can eat sea urchins.
Yeah, sea urchins.
Is that the next
episode? Look, Frank, no kidding. Same mix, same everything.
Yeah.
Put your sea urchins in there fresh.
And just pour
it right
the vinegar
in there and
eat it.
Sea urchins.
Sea urchins. Yeah. Man, they're delicious.
Okay.
My brother put that on the situation.
All right, boys and girls. This has been a from your local sea urchin, Fish and Frank, and Pastor Donnie, Barry, and the gang today. Thank you for listening to Cooking Fish. See you later.